New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
You're listening to Building the Broncos with Nick Kendall and Carl Dummler, Broncos Country's leading draft and scouting analysts. Get on over to milehighhuddle.com to sound off on all things Broncos.
Welcome in. It is Tuesday night, the 22nd. We are following, obviously, a big Broncos win. And Broncos, hey, season ended today, halfway point. Denver be in the playoffs, so it's a good place to be. Welcome in. Tuesday night, Building the Broncos. I'm Nick Kendall, joined by Carl Dummler. Obviously, we look way closer than normal because we're trying to figure out camera stuff. I don't know what's going on. Should we shake our fist at, you know, maybe the people before us? I don't think it was me. I don't know. But how you doing, Carl? Good to see you. Thanks everyone for your patience, but you as well.
Yeah. No, it's good to see you, man. And like I said, coming in after another Broncos victory. Four out of the five last weeks, getting to be a part of that is nice. You know, last year we had that nice little run, but to actually have it early in the season, not to already be going, oh my gosh, we're already out of this. We have to win every game to make the playoffs. And got a nice opportunity on Sunday to make it 5-3. Be looking real good heading into November. So I'm as happy as a clam.
Yeah, I mean, how could you not be? Denver looking good Thursday night. Obviously that's chance to flush that terrible Chargers game, making me happy as a clam. David McElrath, Papa Bear, says good evening Broncos country. He says 10-7, let's go Broncos, of course. And we got our guy Stu McPeak coming in as well, saying hi guys. Stu with a 1999 super chat. Thank you much, Stu, for the support. And Papa Bear as well, keeping the lights on here, making our faces zoomed in. I guess I have to start shaving and man here myself a little better. Maybe that be with our ads later there, but we got David Kinn coming in here as well, saying evening everyone, good to see you. Michael Crabtree says bring on the Pro Bowlers. I would love for the Broncos to have an elite team of Pro Bowlers. Yeah, I think Pro Bowl. So we talk about that. We were just pitching things to Chad, and he said I like that one. We can talk about some highlight players on the team so far this season. Pro Bowl though, still a little bit of a popularity contest. I'll always think back to, was it 2013? The Chiefs had the number one overall pick, and they had the most Pro Bowlers of any team in football that season. So obviously grain of salt. I mean, obviously the players care about Pro Bowl accolades. So like we should care too, but just know that they're not always, whoa, what's that? What's going on here? They're not always the most telling of actual play on the field and team performance for sure as well.
Yeah. I think funny thing is, so that 2013 kind of happened because the fans voted like crazy for Chiefs players. And if they were going by today's rules, they probably would be voting for everybody else because it actually ends up costing your team more money because especially those first round picks, the fifth year option, that changes the value of the player depending on, and most of the fifth year option guys are getting contracts beforehand if they are worth being a Pro Bowl type talent. So maybe it's kind of a moot point anyway, but still you're right. No, it's a little bit more of a popularity contest. If we're actually going by talent on the field, there are a few Broncos that are deserving of being in that conversation this year. You know, we couldn't say that over the last few.
No, I mean, obviously you had Patrick Surtain and, you know, maybe some highlights from some guys out there, but we're going to go around the roster and just talk about guys who have a chance still. We got US Dave. Good to see. We got Stu McPeak already, but thank you so much, Stu. Always appreciate you. It's worth highlighting twice because of how supportive you are. We got Woofy in here as well. Says good evening. Wish we had a weekly rundown. Is a small rundown of Dave, Sanger, and Suck Broncos. I feel like I missed stuff because I'm so busy. I mean, you know, things are, we're busy too. And there's always some things here or there. You just got to pay attention to the transaction wire, right? Kliss does a good job with that. Chris over on, oh gosh, I'm totally going to butcher his name. Chris does a good job too over the Denver Gazette, I believe. Is it?
Yeah.
But Thomason, he's good follow. But as far as the, you know, just the waiver wire kind of stuff, you know, there's good sources out there, of course. David Papa Bear, good to see you again. Yeah, good evening. Good to see you. 10-7. Let's go, Bo. Thank you so much. We got Jetty Splash coming in here with the thought bubble. Fill in the blank here. What's going on with the thought bubble, Carl?
I'm not sure. I mean, there's plenty to be thinking about with this Broncos team for sure.
Yeah.
You know, some people might be asking that question. Should they be making some trades this week? Mm. There's plenty of talk right now of different players being on the trade block. Some Pro Bowl type players, some older veterans. You're thinking of like a Cooper Kupp. Everybody was talking about him today of possibly being a guy out there, not somebody I'd be interested in for the Broncos. You know, you're trying to build for the future, not just for this season. Like, I understand, like we want to win this year, but you can't sacrifice the future just for this one season right now. The Broncos are not in that kind of position. If you're the Chiefs, go sell everything. Yeah. Because you're trying for that three-peat, go get that dynasty, be the first team in history to do that. I get why they would do it. I don't think the Broncos should.
Yeah, just different places in the team building process. If Denver wins the next two and wins a shocking, let's call it what it would be, shocking win on the road at Baltimore, and you're sitting there at, what would it be, 6-3? I mean, maybe we have a conversation then, like, heck, defense is playing top five, special teams is playing top five. Maybe there's something we can do on the offense to raise them as well. But yeah, good to see you. Chase Wellner in the house. Good to see you. Samantha comes and says, am I late or is it just me? Well, Sam, we were late because we're trying to figure out things. Hopefully my internet's not giving out too. You let me know, Carl. We got Daniel Berry Sports coming in here. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Good to see you. Bucks Rays Bolts going in here. Good to see you. Oh, we got Mike Mueller coming in. Hello from the Quad Cities. So I might have to run off here and fix the internet connection here for a second. Reset the router, but yeah, we'll do what we can. Scott also says, Nick, your internet sucks. I don't know what's going on. We had a big storm come through, I guess. I need to reset the router. Don't have a chance when you have to pick up the baby and there's construction going on and all this stuff, and you're running in here anyway, and the computer is not working, but you know, we're okay. What's wrong with Nick's internet? God, Lord only knows. We're hanging in there. I'm gonna switch routers here real quick, Carl. Maybe that'll help me a little bit too. Take over here for a second. I want to hear your Pro Bowlers.
Yeah, so let's start on the defensive side because they're kind of the easier ones to check out. I think the most obvious one is Patrick Surtain the second. I mean, he's the best player on your team. He has been shutting down top-tier wide receivers all season until that injury. I mean, I might be willing just to go ahead and sit him again this week just to make sure that he's fully healthy and ready to go for the really big games. I mean, if he's healthy, I guess put him out there. But I'm not too worried about the Panthers at this point because they're just a hot mess. Another guy, you got to go with Zach Allen. He's been the second best player on this team. You could argue a top three interior defensive lineman this year. I mean, Chris Jones is by far the best one in football, but Zach Allen has an argument to be in that next tier of guys.
Dexter Lawrence might want to have a word.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right.
As well.
I kind of forget a little bit because he's with the Giants and they stink and hardly anybody watches them. But you're right. He's a great one as well. But Zach Allen, again, the next group of guys, 3, 4, 5, somewhere in there, his interior pass rush has been incredible for the Broncos. Something I'm trying to remember the last time we really had a great interior pass rusher.
I mean, Malik Jackson was pretty darn good.
Yeah.
Trevor Price was pretty incredible inside-outside guy as well. But, yeah, he is pretty darn incredible. And I just, like, I got into it on Twitter, but something made me go back and check the data. You know, if something sounds like doesn't sound right, you could want to dig into it a little bit here if you have access to it as well. So PFF put out a tweet that most pressures from an interior defensive lineman this season. You got Zach Allen with 39. And then you got Chris Jones with 30 and then Dexter Lawrence at 29. And I tweet out Zach Allen's in some rare air here. He has afforded a higher rate being the key word there, of one-on-ones compared to Chris Jones and Dexter Lawrence, but he's taking advantage. And nobody, you know, can fault him for that. You know, you got, if you have a one-on-one in front of you, he's winning those matchups, you know, God bless him. And that's because of how aggressive Denver is, highest rate of cover zero, one of the heaviest blitzing teams. You're just going to, by nature, sending more guys, going to have more one-on-one opportunities. Well, then, shout out to Bo Nix season on Twitter, quote tweeting Doug Farrer, who does an awesome job, covering the NFL. If he's over there at Athlon Sports, he's written a few books. He tweeted out that, well, actually, Allen has faced 131 double teams this season. Lawrence has faced 117 and Jones has faced 88. I'm not sure where that number, those numbers exactly come from. I'm like, okay, that doesn't seem right based on the eye test to me. Well, Zach Allen, and so I always say on here, your numerator is only as good as your denominator. Zach Allen has played so many more snaps, Carl, than any defensive player, defensive lineman in football. It's like we're approaching Max Crosby level of like, how is he playing this much? So yeah. He has 432 snaps on the year on the defensive line. The next highest, 345. And he's like, the difference between one and two is about the same difference as between two and 50 as well. So he's an Iron Man. He has seen more double teams because he's simply just seen more snaps. His rate is still lower than Chris Jones and Dexter Lawrence. But shout out to Zach Allen, man, playing that many snaps is absurd. Absolutely absurd. I had to check and I did a double take. I about spit out my coffee. It's like, oh my God, that many snaps. That's unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, another person I want to shout out, or not person, company, is Prize Picks. They are the best place to get real money sports action with over 10 million members and billions of dollars in awarded winnings. Prize Picks has made daily fantasy sports accessible to all. You just pick more or less on at least two players for a shot to win up to 100 times your cash. Run your game all season long on Prize Picks. Check it out.
Yeah, Prize Picks, of course. Prize Picks is the only real money daily fantasy platform with an insurance policy, so your lineups stay in place even if one of your players gets injured. If your player leaves in the first half, it doesn't return. Prize Picks lets you keep your lineup live so you can edit it. Prize Picks is the best place to get your real money sports action. Join over the 10 million users and sign up today. And if you sign up today, you get $50 instantly when you pay $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed.
Download the app today and use code MILEHIGH to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Again, download the Prize Picks app today and use code MILEHIGH to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. All right, we got Cody W. coming in saying, what about a trade for Garrett Wilson? So this is another player that's definitely been talked about quite a bit after they traded for Davante Adams. I don't think the Jets are looking to trade Garrett Wilson at this time. I mean, they did use obviously a pretty high first round pick on him. He's a very talented wide receiver. If they're looking at who's going to be a part of our future, I'm sure Garrett Wilson is a part of that. And I don't think they're going to be able to get all the players that they are, all the value that they'd want back for him. Now, if he becomes available, I'd be willing to throw a second round pick and more to go get Garrett Wilson. I think he is an amazing fit with Bo Nix. His work in the short and the intermediate to, I mean, just take a 5-yard pass and turn it into a 40-yard gain is something that fits perfectly with what Nix loves to do. If you go back and watch, especially like even like his 2023, 2022, he did not have great quarterback play with him, but yet the guy still put up over 1,000 yards. You know, to me, that's a sign of a great wide receiver that doesn't have to have a great quarterback to make it work. And he's one of those guys because he can just make his own by the yards after catch ability. So if he was available, I would definitely go for him. I don't see the Jets, unless somebody gives them a ridiculous offer, being willing to separate from Garrett Wilson. He is by far, in my opinion, better than any receiver, unless you're, depends where you're putting Travis Hunter. But I would say Garrett Wilson is better than any receiver in this upcoming draft. And you got a few more years of cost control. So if the Broncos could do it, it would be great to see. But great question, Cody W. Thank you for the super chat there. I think if the Broncos are probably going to add, it's going to be to the tight end position. And then we got Phil coming in with some stars. Thank you, Phil. And good evening, Nick, Carl, and Deacon Scott. Besides quarterback, name two offensive players you would like to see become Pro Bowlers, hashtag Buckham, hashtag MHH for life, hashtag Broncos for life. I mean, I would say your next two most valuable positions are left tackle. And I mean, Garrett Bowles, he's played at a Pro Bowl level. I mean, he was a second team All Pro. Trying to remember what year was. Was that 2020? I think it was. And he's kind of been right on that edge a couple different times. He doesn't have the name recognition, and obviously the offense has been terrible. So unfortunately for a lot of offensive players, if your offense is terrible, it's hard for you to get that recognition. And so he'd be one. And then wide receiver. If you could have any of the young wide receivers emerge as a true difference maker, I don't care who it is, Troy Franklin, Vele, Marvin Mims, any of those guys, if they could emerge and become something great, that would be huge for the Broncos. Solve one of their biggest problems that they've had here for the last few years of finding that second weapon beyond Cortland Sutton. Anybody else, put out your names out there in the chat and we'll get to them for sure. But yeah, those were the two positions because they are the two most valuable outside of quarterback, in my opinion, on the offense. And I think money-wise, it kind of plays out that way. You look at their contracts, tackle, wide receiver, next two most valuable positions. All right, we got a few other people, Stu, coming back in with some stars. Thank you, Stu. It's great to see you. Hope everything's going well for you and your family. Always love seeing that picture of you and your wife, especially in that Broncos gear. Let's see, we got Pro 16K saying, if the Browns lose this week, I can see us picking up David Njoku. That's probably the name that has been most attached to the Broncos. Like I said, if there is a position for the Broncos to go after with this team, I think it would be tight end. And he would be an incredible one to add. He's a decent blocker. Add something as a receiving option. You know, last year, you look at his games. When he had Watson as his quarterback, he was not great in the passing game. And it wasn't really his fault. You know, okay, now our screen's fixed. There we go. Look at that. Scott in the background doing the work. Oh, man. Great to see. But anyway, Njoku, yeah, he, with Watson, he doesn't really like tight ends. I don't know what it is. But all of a sudden, when he got hurt, Flacco came in. He, in those final five games, if you averaged it out over a 17-game season, would have had over 1,300 yards receiving as a tight end. So you get him in the right system with the right quarterback that can actually take advantage of a tight end, this guy could go off for you. He's still, I think, only 28. So he can be a part of your future. It's not like you're getting a one-year rental. I mean, you're going to have to redo his contract and you know, make it work that way. But the Broncos have plenty of cap space, so they can get that kind of figured out. And with tight end being one of those positions that takes a very long time to develop, unfortunately, in the NFL, unless your name is Brock Bowers, you know, it would be nice.
Sam Laporta.
Okay. There's been a few. I'm not trying to discredit a lot of them, but it is usually a position that takes a couple years before you really get the value back on the player. Hey, welcome back.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm hoping this works. I reset the router real quick, but Lord only knows. Yeah, if the Browns do move on from or lose this week again, which is likely, although maybe not now that Deshaun Watson's out, Jameis Winston can't probably be worse. Maybe David Njoku's available. There's some other tight ends, too, who interest me. Austin Hooper, of course, is an interesting one of out there for the Patriots. I mean, they don't have to make the world's biggest move at the position. Colby Parkinson would be good, too, with the Rams. I mean, there's some options out there that could help improve the Broncos room from the worst in the NFL to like serviceable. They really just need like a second Adam Trautman, right? I mean, it'd be better to have better than that, but just for, to be able to run more 12 personnel. Cody W comes in and says, Bo rookie of the week. That's a confidence booster. It absolutely is a confidence booster. Cody, you're giving me a confidence booster by coming in and supporting the show so much. So we appreciate you hanging out with us and doing all this stuff with us. But back to the Pro Bowl stuff before my internet reset the router, and it's still, maybe I'll have to reset the modem as well. Don't have time with that with a screaming baby upstairs and just disarray. Gotta go. Zach Allen has been unbelievable this season. I remember, you know, you and I both somewhat not lamented, but we're like, man, losing Draymond Jones, that could be bad. He's been a very positive player for Denver. Then they brought in Zach Allen. We're like, okay, if this was the plan all around, we're okay with that. We'll see how it works. And he's been a revelation. And forget the Pro Bowl stuff, Carl. I'm thinking all pro. I mean, the guys he's talking about there, this is an all pro conversation for Zach Allen this season if he can keep this up.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, you listed those two guys, Chris Jones, Dexter Lawrence, having a little bit better year than him on a, especially a per play basis. But that's great names to be mixed with. Like when you're being talked about among those guys as, hey, you've got 39 quarterback hits compared to these kind of guys, it's incredible. So he is. I never thought I would see this from him. I don't think anybody really did. Otherwise, he would have been paid more money by somebody. So the fact that he's continued to grow, I think the Broncos did a great job a couple off seasons ago of getting guys that were good, but were just getting ready to enter maybe their peak years. You know, he's still, what, 26, 27 years old right now?
27.
So, yeah, so you've still got another 3-4 years of possibly him being at an elite level for this defense. If you can keep him surrounded, you know, if he starts getting into a lot more of the true double teams and not having some decent players around him, he might have a little bit more struggle. But right now, he's a great fit for this defense. He loves getting into that attacking mode, and he's really taking advantage of every opportunity he's got.
Yeah, absolutely. Phil McLaughlin comes in and says, do you think Javonte Williams can hit 110 plus this week? Certainly possible. That's a absolutely dreadful room. The big question for me is is he gonna get the volume to get to 110? That was the question. Like last week, what do you have, 80? But it was on 14 carries or something. I just don't know if they're gonna give it to him enough.
So I have him on my fantasy team. I've only started him twice this week or this year. Started him this last week, thankfully, because most of my guys were on bye week, so I didn't have much of an option. But this week, I've got to make a choice. Am I going to start him or Josh Jacobs? And I'm being honest, I will say that I'm starting Josh Jacobs just because he is a workhorse of a running back right now. I trust that he's going to get the bulk where, like you said, Javonte, he might only get 10 carries, especially if that game gets out of hand early.
Who knows, might be right? Leaning towards Estimate. I'm starting Javonte.
Are you?
Yeah. I'm starting Javonte this week. So I think that, you know, we'll see about that. But it's always, he's hard to trust. But you know who you can always trust is Manscaped.
Yeah, Manscaped is one of the global leaders in men's lifestyle and grooming. Every man knows the unbeatable feeling of a fresh barbershop shave. Now, what if I told you that you no longer have to wait weeks or even months between appointments to experience it?
Yeah, Manscaped is the newest innovation that we want to introduce is the Chairman Pro Electric Foil Shaver, the game-changing tool that brings the luxury of a professional shave right into your home. Whether you're after that daily silky smooth finish or prefer to maintain a rugged 5 o'clock shadow, the Chairman Pro Electric Foil Shaver is your go-to precision and style every single time. Head over to manscaped.com and join over the 11 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by using the code HUDDLE for 20% off plus free shipping.
Get the Chairman Pro today and experience a shave that is as smooth as you deserve. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code HUDDLE at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code HUDDLE at manscaped.com.
Freshly shaved, you know what? Yeah, no, that's a good transition there, trying to get it all going there. But we got our guy, of course. I don't know if we said hello to Michael yet. It says, good evening, Nick and Carl. I'm building the Broncos. Go Bo Broncos. Go Michael. Go my Broncos for Michael. We appreciate you coming in. And we got Stu over on Facebook this time. Says we need to have a more consistent running game. Yeah, Denver's actually been, I won't call them consistent, but they're starting to turn it around with the run game going forward. I think that a lot of the issues with the run game have been related to the pass game, right? Everything happens in a closed system. So you have all these different variables. It's hard to say the run game is bad if the offense is, or the passing game is struggling, right? That all feeds into itself. But Denver has become one of the better rushing attacks, thanks in large part to the offensive explosion, run game explosion that we saw versus the Saints. But they are rush offense so far this season, EPA per play 11th, and they are third in success rate. So run game's coming along. Granted, a lot of that is not parsed I can't separate the Bonix scrambles, which might be having a decent amount of impact on that, right? He's the fourth leading rusher of all quarterbacks in the NFL so far, and he's not even close to being the highest in design runs. It is a good amount of scrambles as well. Obviously, we'd rather see him passing the ball than scrambling it. If he's hitting the back of his drop, it's not just on him though. It's separation and stuff. But yeah, I mean, Denver's run game is coming together. I'm expecting them to also pad their stats even more against Carolina this week. So I'm expecting by this point next week, a top 8 EPA per play rushing offense, but still got to play the game. We'll see. And then you got the Chiefs and the Ravens who are pretty good at stopping the run.
Yeah, I mean, you hope this is one of those games, like I said, build up more confidence, get a little bit more consistent with what they're trying to do. I wouldn't do a ton of design runs in this one unless you absolutely have to. Just save Bo Nix, save those kind of carries for those big games. I don't want to completely dismiss the Carolina Panthers because they have actually won a game this year.
Yeah.
But still, right now, they just are looking real, real rough. Looking like a team that's getting ready to sell off some pieces, might even not even have some of their weapons by Sunday because of trades. We'll see.
And just on that news, I think it's worth talking that it's going to be fine. Everybody's healthy, but Andy Dalton and his family were in a car accident today as well, according to the Panthers. So everybody's healthy. He's getting checked out by team doctors, but yeah, with just even more chaos and distractions going on there. So that's a, this is a team that doesn't really look like they want to be there so much right now. So back to the Pro Bowl conversation here, Carl. Obviously, Patrick Surtain, all pro. Do we need him for Carolina? I mean, it'd be nice to get him out there just because you want to remove all doubt, right? I'd rather have him out there playing, and then let's say we're up 3 possessions in the fourth quarter, then you take him out. But oh, hopefully he's good. Don't want to rush him. There's no reason to rush him with a concussion. Talked about Zach Allen as well. Those are the obvious two. For Denver in the Pro Bowl conversation. Is there anybody else who really stands out? I'll give you the floor first, because now we're getting into the weeds a little bit of who could stand out still.
I think Riley Moss deserves a nod here a little bit. Okay. He's not going to get there because first year starting, it always kind of takes a couple years unless you're a first round pick. But he has looked outstanding. I mean, just a true revelation as that number two cornerback. I think he's been top 10 in quarterback rating when thrown at this year. So I think he definitely deserves a little bit of a nod, and he's helped out in the run game. You know, it's been nice that your number two cornerback's willing to come up and make some tackles for you. So I'd put him up there. The other guy on defense that I would consider is Jonathan Cooper. Mm-hmm. You know, he's on pace for that 10 sack season, double digit sacks. He's been a plus in the run defense, in my opinion. He's done well of holding up his edge. And I feel like he's just getting better. You know, every year he has just incrementally got a little bit better. And he just looks like one of those guys that's really come onto the scene and deserves a lot more recognition than he's getting.
Yeah. I mean, those are two good ones. I thought Moss and Cooper as well. Just, to, you know, tossing out their names. But for me, Carl, I think, you know, what's the sexy stat in football on defense?
Well, I mean, sacks or turnovers, either one of those.
Brought to you by Manscaped. But sacks, yeah. Benito, I mean, he is getting after it right now. You know, 5 sacks in a row, now going up against a Panthers team. He's been, last year, there's a lot of, like, unblocked pressures or sacks that he got, kind of miscommunication from the offensive line. And credit to him, you know, finishing, that counts still. But this season, how he's winning looks a lot more sustainable to me. Yeah. Now, granted, he's still not the world's best, you know, edge setter against the run. The speed to power is not like overwhelming, but God bless it, man. He's got to be one of the best 3 to 5 true speed rushers in the NFL right now. So I think Benito, if he can keep up his torrent sack pace, that would be something. Now, granted, he had a really hot start last year and then fell off, and sacks can be a little bit fluky. Not as much as like turnovers, right? It's just such a small volume or a small count stat. But that is something I think Benito also has a chance. If he keeps it up with the way the Broncos are getting after it, with the good coverage in the back end, with the one-on-ones, now that they can actually stop the run decently on first and second down, we'll see how that carries over versus the Ravens, the Falcons, and Chiefs. But I think Benito, honestly, I'm going to say he has a better chance than Cooper because he has the sexier splash plays.
He does. You're right. And I'm excited for him. I mean, I know when we were doing our live draft show and the Broncos picked him, I think pretty much every one of us were like, oh, no. Like, and I mean, we saw this part of his game. He's got the athleticism, but he was a little bit tiny. And some of the weaknesses that he does have come out here in the NFL. But when you can get after the quarterback like that, you can get to them in under 3 seconds with his bend and speed around the edge. That is such a weapon to have. And especially this year when the Broncos have a run defense that can get you into third and long, and then you can take advantage of his skill set. Mm-hmm. It's just been great to see. So you're right. He's going to get the sexy stats. I think this week, if he gets a sack, he ties Von Miller for the most in straight weeks. So I think this will be week 6 or week 7 for him getting a sack. So that's great to see when you're getting that kind of name next to you in the record books for the Denver Broncos. And I hope he gets it. He's been working his tail off. He's been doing great in the wake of Baron Browning being injured and him having to step into that starting role. And so, yeah, I would agree. He stands a pretty decent chance if he continues and gets to that, 14 sack range. He should maybe get
double digits is good, right? But if he gets to 14, he should be a Pro Bowler. And somebody, if I want to say Joe Rolls, did a tweet the other day asking, like, if you could protect 5 Broncos from an expansion draft right now, who would they be? And I toiled long and hard about Cooper or Benito, and Cooper's very good. I took Benito though in the speed rush that he brings. So yeah, great player. And I mean, I hope they can keep both those guys long-term, because neither of them are like Myles Garrett, Max Crosby, TJ Watt, but they are playing their way into like top 20 edge rushers. And if you can have a smorgasbord of those kind of guys, you can do something in the NFL for sure.
Well, let me tell you about one that is top notch. And that is a company called Mint Mobile. With big wireless providers, what you see is never what you get. Somewhere between the store and your first month's bill, the price you thought you were paying magically skyrockets. With Mint Mobile, you'll never have to worry about those gotchas ever again. When Mint Mobile says $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, they mean it. Say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plans, monthly bills, and unexpected overages.
To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month premium wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/huddle. That's mintmobile.com/huddle. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/huddle. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on a first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on a limited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. So, Carl, I mean, I'm sure the chat has noticed this as well. We haven't listed a singular offensive player for the Broncos to make the Pro Bowl. So I got to ask you right now, I mean, obviously not looking good for anybody on the Broncos offense, but is there somebody at least worth keeping an eye on going forward, just because we got half the season to go, things can change.
I mean, Garrett Bowles, the last 5 games has given up 2 pressures or less. You're seeing the run game take off. Some of those runs to the left have been with him doing a great job getting to either the second level or even just his guy in front of him. But I think he's been one that's always right on that edge. And if the Broncos are a winning team, I could see his name getting thrown out there. And it'd be great for him just for that contract negotiation, you know, being able to say, hey, I had a second team all pro a couple of years ago, Pro Bowl this year. I could see him. And he's always been a second half of the season kind of guy anyway. He always kind of struggles a little bit early on to get his feet underneath him. And then once he kind of gets into the flow of the season, he becomes a pretty darn decent left tackle. So I could see him, especially the offensive line right now, they have been more of a strength than people realize. You know, I know the offense hasn't been great, but the offensive line has been great in both the pass and the run. You know, especially the pass game, Bo Nix needs to buy every single one of those guys a Rolex watch at the end of the year. For how well they've protected him. You know, we just saw this last week, Jaden Daniels go down. And, you know, and it was on a run, like his own designed run. And he, I think he gained like 45 yards and then boom, got hit hard, took it to the ribs. I don't know if the ball hit him in the ribs or something like that, whatever it was, but he might be out here for a couple of weeks. But really, Bo Nix, he's had some plays where he could sit back there for 4, 5, 6 seconds scanning the field because those guys are doing so well. Do you have a name in mind?
Bowles was going to stand out to me as one of the people who has definitely a chance to make a name for himself in the Pro Bowl. I mean, he's been around for a bit. I feel like there aren't a lot of offensive tackles that are truly dominating right now, especially on like good teams. I mean, you have Trent Williams out there. You got Lane Johnson, Tristan Wirfs, Penny Sewell, but Bowles is playing pretty good. And let me tell you, he might not be one of the top six tackles in football, but I think come this offseason, he's going to be one of the six highest paid tackles in football, because it looks like a pretty poor offensive tackle class coming up this season. I know that I think Dane Brugler mentioned that people in the league think it could be one of the worst offensive tackle classes in a decade. So that could change a lot of things, obviously. And there's not a lot of good tackles that hit the market, right? The guys that he's going to be up against who right now are set to hit free agency are for the longtime tackle for the Tyron Smith, who's been playing dreadful for the Jets. He looks old and washed up and not good anymore. You have guys like
Ronnie Mekhi Stanley.
Becton, not very good, kind of a bust. Jedrick Wills has been really poor for the Browns as well. There's another really old Ronnie Stanley, who's playing pretty good, but like older as well and way more injuries than Bowles. So I don't think Bowles is a top 10, 15 tackle overall in football, but he's been healthy and he's going to be available. And when you got teams that have resources and young quarterbacks, looking at the Patriots, you know, looking at teams like that, desperate for even just competency at left tackle, he's going to get paid. He's going to get a bag. So we'll see what Denver does. I don't think next year is the year to go in the first round and be like, we're going to definitely find our starting day one left tackle in the draft. I think that's horrible process. Maybe you like McGlinchey enough this season. He played his last two seasons at Notre Dame at left tackle. Maybe you like Alex Palchetsky and McGlinchey with a competition left tackle where you can either move McGlinchey right or left, depending on how it works out. But Bowles is going to get paid. Speaking of which, I also think he missed, four games. But McGlinchey's, I think, been the best offensive lineman on the Broncos when he's been on the field this season. In the three games, I think he's been their best one. So shout out to McGlinchey as well. Again, is he going to make it over the likes of Lane Johnson, Penny Sewell? No, probably not. But he's got a chance. So those two tackles and Quinn Meinerz, who I would say has been a little disappointing this season. I mean, he's good, but he's not like this like superstar all pro, like kind of like what Denver paid him to be. It's just, we haven't seen that as much. I don't know if it's the weight of the new contract or something on him. Those three on the offensive line have a chance. I can't imagine any of the skill position guys getting out there with how this offense is functioning right now. There's just no way.
It would take Javonte Williams pretty much having a game like he had this last week, every week for the rest of the year, you know, where he's averaging 80 yards a game, helping in the pass game, scoring some touchdowns. It would take a lot. It's just not going to happen. You're right. Miners, I think the thing for me this year, he's been a very high variance player. He's had some really great blocks that he had last year of just throwing guys to the ground. And then he's had others where he gets caught leaning a little bit in the pass rush and guys are blowing by him. I feel like almost Ben Powers has been more consistent than him so far this year. He's not been as high of highs.
Yeah.
But he's just pretty much been average along the whole path for the season.
Yeah. So, I mean, odds of any offensive player making it, I think, are pretty slim. The asterisk, the dark horse, you know, the sneaking in candidate, maybe Marvin Mims, again, as a returner. That's more special teams, but he's an offensive player, right? So he'd have a chance out there. I think Riley Dixon could have a chance well. This season. Now there's some really good punting going on in the league right now. And I actually just wrote an article and sent it off to Chad today about the special teams for Denver. They're actually ranked the number two special teams in all of football right now, Carl, according to DVOA. And that's even Football Outsiders. I think it's Aaron Schultz is his name. Not, he's not Football Outsiders anymore. It's like FTN Fantasy. Football Outsiders went kaput. yeah, no, they weight games in Denver negatively for special teams just because the altitude and the ball travels further. So like, it's not just Denver that has it, but any team that plays in Denver, they get a negative weighted game on special teams for the kicking. And even with that, with three of their four games at home, Denver has the number two special teams, according to DVOA this season, with the number three defense. So really it's been pretty awesome. With that, Denver has the third best average starting field position for the offense, and the first best starting field position for the defense, this season. So shout out to the special teams, Westhoff, Cutliff, I think that's the name. I can't remember the special teams coach, former, Army helicopter guy, but, Ben Coswith, apologize. I know Mike Westhoff, he follows me on Twitter, but, no, those Broncos special teams really deserve a shout out. They've been unbelievable.
You're right. It's, if you got a great special teams, it's almost like you hardly remember that they're there. If you've got a really bad one, you know that they're there because of how many times it's just like, oh my gosh, we could have had them, you know, you punt, that you could have had them at the 5 yard line instead of you got them at the 25 yard line. So, yeah, that's been huge for the Broncos. You think of Bo Nix's situation. I know, obviously, the weapons are not great, but he's had a top 10 offensive line. I think you put this on Twitter earlier. He's had a top 5 defense. He's had a top 3 special teams unit. He's got great coaching around him. So he's got a pretty decent situation for a rookie quarterback. You got some things to work on. They need to add maybe two, three tight ends to this roster, a couple wide receivers, maybe if one of these young guys don't emerge. But even there, like, you've got a couple of the young guys. Franklin's been looking a little bit more. He's been getting a few more opportunities, and he's actually taken advantage of them these last couple games. Vele's been pretty good in his opportunities that he's been given as well. So I think hopefully one of those guys can emerge by the end of the year where you feel at least good enough for them to be a top 3 wide receiver on your roster. Maybe both of them. You hope both of them. I think Bo Nix is in a pretty decent situation. He's got to clean some things up. The entire offense, if he can take even just a couple more steps forward, this could be a very dangerous team.
Yeah. I mean, and they've been hitting explosive plays pretty well, the running offense. Now, granted, Bo's a big part of that, but they're 11th in EPA, right? 4th in success rate, like we talked about earlier. And the offense is hitting actually pretty well on the explosive play rates, just as far as the pass game too. I have it over 10%.
They're 6th in the NFL.
For explosive play rate for passing, they're 5th. For just the passing, they are 2nd for the offense overall. So I mean, they're getting explosive plays. It's just the offense needs to start hitting layups in the pass game. Just not enough cohesion in the quick game. I mean, their success rate, which is, you know, a good indicator of the down to down ability, they're 28th in offensive success rate this season and 29th in pass game success rate. So explosive, but not at all down to down efficient right now. And that's having a major weight on the team. I mean, if they could even get average in those areas, you'd be talking about a team that would win 10 games pretty easily. Really, but right now we're probably looking, I think DVOA has them projected 8.8 wins. So right around there, 8 or 9, hovering around 500 with the 24th ranked defense, according to DVOA. So yeah, they got a lot to work on for sure. But anybody else, I mean, we talked about it, obviously Allen and Sertan, they have to make it. If they don't make it, we should storm the NFL front, league office or whatever. I mean, that'd be collusion to the highest degree.
Would you think of either of the safeties?
I don't think PJ Locke, but I do think Brandon Jones has a chance. It's just, there's so many bigger named safeties out there and he's not making enough like game by game splash plays. They're solid. They're doing good. They're doing their job, but I don't think they have the weight overall that a lot of other ones do.
We got Phil coming in saying, do we do a 60-40 run pass ratio this week? I would say it depends on, do we get an early lead? You know, you get up a couple touchdowns. Of course, you lean more into the run game at that point. So the Broncos have not started well in most games this year. This would be one of those weeks you hope that they can do that and then just really lean into it, take the air out of that game for the Panthers there. I'd probably still say it's going to be 50-50 just because Sean Payton loves to pass.
Yeah. I mean, you know, not to be those guys, you know, I don't think this is just if you're up like that, I don't think this is just a game where you're trying to get out of there and, you know, bleed the clock, but maybe it's a chance to kind of like in the last game, you know, utilize some of the play as a practice, you know, get some reps in there, you know, low stakes reps. So maybe get some other guys working out there, get something for Vele, Franklin, you know, those are the kind of things as well. So we'll see what happens, but yeah, the pass game needs to work. And the Denver can't overlook Carolina. I mean, I know this is, what is Denver, a 7.5-point favorite? They should win this one, but you never know. It is the NFL. Crazy things do happen. So, yeah, thank you guys so much. We're going to wrap it on up here. I did see that we had, Ben Kowitka. There we go. The special teams coordinator. Thank you so much for that, Michael. We appreciate you. Also with the great show tonight, Nick and Carl. And Scott's shaking his head, so I must have mispronounced it again. But thank you so much. Yep. Well, God bless you, Ben K. We got that going. He also says, a great show tonight, Nick and Carl, on building the Broncos. Go Bo Broncos. Thank you so much. And yeah, the Doug says 9-point favorites now. So hell yeah, it's great. We'll see. Hopefully Denver takes advantage of it. It's got to be one of the biggest spreads they've had since probably the first few games of the Russell Wilson era, when we actually thought that might be good. But Carl, thank you so much. A lot of fun tonight. Shout out to our reads. Obviously, we got Mint Mobile. We had Manscaped today, as well as Prize Picks. So shout out to those folks. It's a lot of great folks. You support them. Yeah, you support them. That means you're supporting us. We appreciate that a heck of a lot. Make sure you're following Carl and I on Twitter. Carl's at Carl Dumber MHH. I'm at Nick Kendall MHH. Also follow us at Mile High Huddle. If you haven't done so yet, we're at facebook.com/MileHighHuddle and facebook.com/MileHighHuddlePod. And as the ticker says there underneath, please subscribe, like, and share. I am going to go help with the baby and do all this other stuff. And then hopefully take a hammer to my router and modem. So hopefully that's a little better, but appreciate everybody coming in here. Any final thoughts, Carl?
No, I think the Broncos, like I said, are about where you'd want them to be at this point. Maybe lost a game there that they should have won. You know, Chargers unfortunately caught them at a good time. I think they were riding a little too high, maybe thought they were just going to kind of cruise through that week and learned a lesson on that one. And so then came out in that next week and crushed the Saints there. But no, I'm excited for Sunday, seeing the Broncos continue, hopefully winning another game here and just building some great momentum heading into November, where we got the meat of this schedule. You know, if you can win two of the four in November, I really think you got to feel darn good about the Broncos making the playoffs this year.
You got a chance. Got a chance. Well, appreciate everyone. We're going to get on out of here. Have a great rest of your day. Continue to choose kindness and compassion. And as always, go Broncos.
You've been listening to Building the Broncos. Join Broncos Country's deep divers at milehighhuddle.com to keep the conversation going.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all new Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
Have you ever wanted to learn a new language? Maybe you were inspired by a recent international trip, became obsessed with a foreign film or TV show, wanted to communicate better with a loved one, or just felt like developing a new skill. With Rosetta Stone, learning a new language is easier than you thought. Rosetta Stone has been a trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered, including Spanish, French, Japanese, Dutch, and more. Learning is immersive and designed for long-term retention, so you fully learn to speak, listen, and even think in that language. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. Listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.